delivered to you every morning and ready to be devoured on demand. When and where you like, it's the Harry and Dana podcast.
We had our third pool party yesterday. We headed down to Scone Memorial Swimming Pool. You probably heard Grant broadcasting live from there. We popped our heads in as well. We had shared a zooper duper with you. Thank you so much, yeah. Honestly. One of my favourite things is going out and meeting you all. So thank you for joining us.
And you're also kind as well. I just want to say, no one criticises the show. Everyone's like, oh, that's great. Thanks so
not
much.
Not to our faces anyway.
At least not to our faces, yeah. So thank you for being polite. It's nice.
But we did meet the Warrior Disability Service guys down there and they told us what they loved most about the pool party.
Hi, I'm Leah Cameron and I'm from Muswell and I'm from Warrior, my family, and I'm having super great fun time at the Scone Pool.
And what do you like most about it? What have you enjoyed the most?
Oh, just hang out with my family and have a great time, yeah.
Did you go for a swim?
Yeah. Got my hair wet.
Oh, perfect.
I'm Bree.
What was your favourite thing about the pool party, Bree?
It was fun.
My name's Luke.
And what was your favourite thing about the pool party?
I loved it and seeing everyone else.
G'day, my name's Michael. I live near Musselbrook.
Yep.
Well, at Musselbrook, and this is my Warrior family. If you don't know them, they're like the best group of possible there is. And I say g'day, Mum and Dad.
What are you enjoying most about the pool party, Michael?
Everything. Free food. I'm in water. It's so much fun.
I see that you've got your goggles on your head. You look like you're having a great time.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for everything for today.
That was the crew from Warrior Disability Services. Massive thanks to Sally as well, who helped us out yesterday.
Yeah, and they brought everybody down, and it was really nice to see you all. But if you've missed out and you still want to come to one, you can. Our last pool party is happening on Thursday, kicking off at noon in Murrundi as well.
Naughty. Oh, at 6:40.
Now, if you've got kids in the car, this is maybe, or at home, you might want to turn down the radio for about 3 minutes.
Yeah, then come straight back.
Because we're going to do something a little bit cheeky. So, Harry, I'm going to give you three headlines of three naughty stories. Two are fake and one is real. You have to guess which is the real news story.
Okay.
All right, headline one. Couple fined $10,000 for not wearing masks while joining the Mile High Club on a flight.
Okay, highly likely, yeah.
Headline two, the couple who makes bespoke porn and the bizarre requests they say yes to.
Bespoke?
Mm.
Kind of like the sound of
every
that
need. And three, you will never guess what this woman messaged her married boss when she found him on Tinder.
Okay, couple fined $10,000 for not wearing masks whilst joining the Mile High Club on a flight. That I kind of want to be true. Not the fine part, but the Mile High Club part. Always wanted to do that. The couple who make bespoke porn and the bizarre requests they say yes to. Not sure about that one. Don't know if that's true or not. And you would never guess what this woman messaged her married boss when she found him on Tinder. I'm guessing the woman found her boss on Tinder and that's the story we're talking about.
That one is actually a headline that I've made up.
Oh.
The one that is true is number two, the couple who make bespoke porn and the bizarre requests they say yes to.
I'm happy that's true.
So
go
this
on.
Is a LA couple, Dan and Rhiannon, and they run a company called Anatomic Media. And they make porn custom to the client. So, and they say no request is too big or too small or too weird, they will absolutely do it. So one of the most benign requests they had was someone requested that they wanted a fully clothed woman to be swatting flies.
The stuff that people get turned on by is so weird.
Oh, just you wait.
No judgment on this show, but each to their own, but still.
Another guy, he wanted a woman to be using a vacuum cleaner, but it had to be a 1960s vacuum cleaner, and he wanted her more to be vacuuming the couch than the floor. The most
This is so benign chores.
Okay,
sorry.
The most expensive film that they've made for a client was about a bride, and it had a cast of 25 people and cost $30,000.
Oh, my God, this is a production.
Another one is a sci-fi story about a disembodied demon. It had 7 episodes to it, and I can't go into the detail of what the demon was doing because that's too much for the radio.
Use your imagination, I imagine.
And the final one, possibly my favourite for how bizarre it is, they made a series called $240 Condiment Game. It involved industrial-strength condiments being poured over girls' heads, including beans, ketchup, chili, and mustard.
That's disgusting. What a waste.
No, each to their own.
Again, maybe I feel like I am judgmental.
Very much so.
Because I say no judgment, but I'm clearly judging. Like, who gets turned on by someone getting tomato sauce being poured all over
their
head?
You know what? If beans does it for you, at least it's a cheap way to get happy.
That's true. There's a new story going around, doing the rounds this morning. Singles reveal their biggest dating red flags.
This will be interesting.
I've got some examples here for you. A woman called Vanessa quickly discovered her date was a clinger after just 1 week they met on a dating app. They'd been chatting for a week and she didn't speak to him for a few days, so she messaged him and asked what was up. He said, "I'm nursing a broken heart because we'd broken up." She just didn't talk to him for like 2 days. That's it.
That's a giant red flag, like too needy.
And too needy. They'd only spoken to each other for a week. Sandy said she dated a man who was extremely insecure about himself. James revealed how his old housemate dated a woman who showed red flags very early on in their relationship. Listen to this. She came over on her first day and the second time she came over on her first day, then on the second time she came over, she brought her laptop with her. She'd created an exact replica of his unit on the game Sims.
Oh, no.
Have you ever played that game?
She's either incredibly obsessed or has great attention to detail.
Down to the house plan and the photos on the wall. Unfortunately, their relationship did not last much longer.
Well, fortunately for him, I think.
It gets worse.
Oh.
Another lady, her name was Beck, she said her best friend found a USB-shaped listening device hidden in her bedroom.
Oh, no.
After her now ex-partner, I would imagine, ex, was acting very suspicious.
Isn't trust the foundation of a relationship? Listening devices are not necessary.
I don't know.
Surely.
I've never gotten to that point. I don't know.
Have you ever had any red flags that you've been like, nah, we got to get out now?
I had a red flag as recent as a few months ago.
Oh, yeah?
I was chatting with a girl and we were organising to go on a date and she said, she messaged me and said, I'm not really quite sure if I want to go on a date yet. I don't know if I'm quite ready. And I said, oh, that's okay. No pressure.
Yeah.
She said, yeah, I'm still living with my ex-boyfriend.
Oh, God.
So delete on that one.
You don't think you're ready, mate.
Yeah, red flag.
Get it together. So get out of there.
I think for me, red flags are still being involved some capacity with your ex.
I had one in a past relationship where my now ex-boyfriend's ex-girlfriend used to still on a regular basis catch up with his mum.
What?
And, like, come over to his house. And I was like, this is weird.
While you were together?
Yes.
So she was the ex and she was still in contact with the mother.
Yeah. I thought with breakups, that's one of the hardest things about breakups is you kind of break up with their whole family as well. She had not broken up with the family.
No, she had
only broken up with him.
The Big Three.
Barabba Hunter's Toyota specialist for 30 years. Singleton Toyota.
This is where our journalist, Jessica Rouse from the newsroom, comes in and gets us up to date with the biggest three news stories you need to know this morning. Hello, Jessica Rouse from the newsroom.
Morning, guys.
How are you, Jessica Rouse from the newsroom?
Great. It's hump day.
Oh,
whoop, 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 whoop.
Have you got plans? Are you one of these people that already planned for the weekend by hump day?
No.
Really?
I think every time either you or Grant ask me, what are you doing on the weekend? I don't know.
Just see what happens.
Yeah, just when
you exceed expectations.
Can I just say, if you have one of your little wine afternoons in the backyard.
Is where it's going.
No, it's not going anywhere.
See? Fishing again, isn't he?
Harry, just in.
Harry can't talk about himself in third person. That's
give Harry, that's give old Harry, your old mate Harry, a little invite over there.
Oh, okay? Is that right? Okay.
I'll even bring a bottle of wine.
Oh, will you?
Yeah, Dana bought me a bottle for Christmas.
Yeah, he'll bring a bottle of wine and he'll drink it all himself.
Oh, I'll share it around. But everyone shares wine. These scenarios, everyone shares wine. Like, you have a glass of this, you have a glass of that.
How would you know? You've never been invited.
Oh, wow. So that rubbing salt into the wound this morning. That's ruined my Wednesday now.
Nothing can ruin your hump day.
Let's chat about the biggest three news stories this morning. TAFE New South Wales at Scone. It's actually up for sale.
Yeah, so this was confirmed a couple of days ago that the New South Wales government is selling it through Colliers International through Expressions of Interest, which is open until the end of February. It's a slight concern. Scone has a connected learning centre, which is not that big. It did open in July 2019. But Upper Hunter MP Michael Johnson says he has no objection to the government selling the site. He, in fact, thinks it could be to our benefit if someone comes along and purchases it and actually, you know, does more equine-related stuff or, you know, makes it more of a bigger educational facility that the horse capital of the country needs. So, who knows?
Absolutely.
Maybe it's a good
watch
thing.
This space.
Yeah,
we'll see. Hopefully, fingers crossed, it ends up well for them.
Let's go over to an interesting story from Nelson Bay now. Now, this could have turned wrong, but it didn't. Eskies save four mates after fishing trip turns bad. So these four mates were very thankful that they packed their Eskies on a recent fishing trip. They were spearfishing off Broughton Island when they got stuck in the 1.5 metre swell. They actually activated their emergency beacon, grabbed their Eskies and waited, but their boat took on too much water and actually sank. And between one of the cells, the swells, they were able to shoot up their last flare and they were seen by the rescue team, but they were found clinging to their Eskies, which kept them afloat. So Eskies. Thank God for Aussie Eskies is all I can say.
That's great. Eskies saved the day. Let's go international now. A man has been arrested at one of the world's busiest airports after he managed to live in a high security area undetected for 3 months.
In the high security area?
Yeah.
Undetected.
In a bathroom? Where was he?
Yeah, where are you guys?
He was at Chicago's International Airport for close to 90 days. He was too scared to go home because of COVID-19.
Oh.
Sounds a bit wacky, but police in Chicago.
Also fair.
Yeah.
The airport's probably the safest place to be.
If you're in the United States, you're right. You don't want to leave the airport. He was on a flight from Los Angeles to Chicago. He was arrested on Saturday. The Los Angeles man managed to go all that time undetected at the airport. He survived off food from passengers. His plan came unstuck when two United Airlines staffers asked to see his identification. And he presented an airport ID badge that had been reported missing. So he obviously found an ID and was passing. Could you live at an airport?
I don't understand where you'd live. Like, you couldn't live in the bathroom because people would be using the bathroom. Maybe he had, like, a wall cavity.
I had to stay at an airport once for about 6 hours and I nearly went insane.
They're very, sleeping on airport floors is not fun.
Yeah.
I've also done it in Thailand and between, you know, when you think that paying $100 less for a flight is great and you'll have a 16-hour layover, then you're actually doing it and it's nightmare.
And I ran out of money and I couldn't go to the bar.
Oh, no.
Disaster. Jessica Rouse, thanks for coming in this morning. We'll see you at 7:30.
No worries.
So this occurred yesterday at Scone Memorial Swimming Pool.
Yes.
We had our pool party there yesterday. Thank you so much for everyone who came down.
A lot of fun, so much fun. It's so great to see so many great, happy faces. We played games. The weather was beautiful for it.
Stunning.
It wasn't too hot. So even if it was, I mean, there's a pool there to jump in. It was a really good day.
I wasn't really dressed appropriately for the pool party. I was in a pair of jeans.
You wear jeans every day, though.
Yeah, I don't really wear shorts. I have skinny legs, chicken legs. I don't. I'm very self conscious about them, so I don't show them off. That's not what I'm here to talk about. It's a tangent. I was walking around the pool, so I walked around where we had set up. I went for a walk around the pool, waved to some kids in the stands. Mm-hmm. There was some kids in the stands, gave them a wave, went around, chatted with some parents of some of the kids. The kids were in the pool.
Yep.
Chatted with the parents for a good 15, 20 minutes, having a chat, standing there. They were kind of elevated somewhat, like
On the grassy knoll,
if you will. And I was just at the bottom of the knoll. And then I came and found you and chatted with you. You were chatting with some people as well. And then I was chatting with some of the kids, waving to the kids, seeing what they were up to, if they were excited to go back to school, all of that kind of jazz. All of this was done, as I later found out, with an open fly.
Oh, that old dog.
So I came back to our setup there where one of the girls from work was there. Her name's Jordan. And she pulled me aside and she said, how long have you been chatting with people? I said, last 40 minutes. She goes, you know your fly's undone. And I was like, God.
You know, I don't think, it's not like you did it on purpose.
No, but I'm surprised the police weren't called, Dana. Like, I just want to make this, take this opportunity and say to all the parents of the Upper Hunter and those that were there at Scone Memorial Swimming Pool, I'm not a creep. Okay.
No, you're not. No. So it's not an issue. I just would say maybe don't do it again.
Okay. Thank you. He's a multi-golden guitar-winning singer-songwriter. You can check out his latest album there in the Ochre, wherever you get your music. You can even see him live in Tamworth tomorrow or Friday night ahead of the Golden Guitar Awards on Saturday. You can get your tickets at lukeoshea.com for tickets. He joins us on the line. Luke, how are you doing this morning?
Very well, my friend Harry. How's things?
Yeah, excellent. Good to have you on the show.
We are really excited to chat to you because Jordan from Singleton, who's a listener of ours, set us the massive task of writing a country song this week, and I couldn't think of anybody who I'd prefer the advice from than you. Are you happy to help us out?
Look, I will. I don't know what we'll come up with, but let's give it a crack, eh?
Okay, so yesterday we spoke to Gemma Beach, who's a local country artist, and I think she's written songs with you as well. So she gave us some great advice about storytelling through the song.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, you got to understand there's about 46 different subgenres of country music that go under the country banner. So your Texas swings, your bro country, your bluegrass, your... Oh, it goes on and on and on. But my love is the storytellers of country music. And, that's the area that I've focused on more than, say, the bro country and all the other stuff, which is quite popular now, I suppose.
Okay, so with that in mind, this is my idea for my country song. I want to write about moving to Muswellbrook because I only moved here about a couple of months ago. So... What should I be doing? Should we be rhyming the end of the lines? Let's go back to basics about storytelling.
Mussy. Well, some of my favourite people on the planet live in Muswellbrook, and there's a lot of love in that town. It's also riding from where you're at. So moving to Mussy. Is there a particular nickname you have for the joint? You or the locals might call it. It's the best place to write from is from your heart.
Okay, a lot of people around town call it Mussy.
Yeah, that's right. So it's just like moving to Mussy just kind of works really cool.
Well, I don't know what subgenre my song would fit in, but I kind of want to write a song about working hard in the mines and then getting on the beers with the boys.
Well, they certainly do that in Mussy.
Yeah, that's what I thought. And that's something, it's from my heart because I enjoy doing it. Even though I don't work in the mines, we work pretty hard and I do like getting on the beers with the boys.
He loves a beer.
Yeah, so it's from my heart.
Yeah, getting on. Now, are you writing two separate songs here or are you both kind of like one together?
We're competing.
Correct. Yeah.
Right, ooh. Okay, moving to Mussy and then working hard and having a beer afterwards. Well, yeah, you've picked some pretty good straight up and down country song themes there.
Beautiful. Okay, awesome. The final thing that I wanted to ask you is you have some great film clips, like some music videos, and there's one called Right Now Station where you're on a train track. We also want to create a music video. Any tips on creating a great music video? Do we need a train track?
The trick is when you're dealing with train tracks, you're hitting them right in that cliche, which picture tells 1,000 words, you take them to a good place. So there's nothing wrong with that. I'd be thinking like if I'd be showcasing what's special about Mussy and like getting in front of one of those real, really long coal trains.
On the train tracks next to it because otherwise we get
next
taken
to it,
out.
You know, that's right. So train tracks can be seen anywhere, but what makes Mussy special is just the length of those big old coal trains that all just kind of link up, or even just the size of the trucks that come in and out of those big bloody holes, you know? Like, it's what makes Mussy unique to the world, and that's what you got to showcase here. And you got so much special and beauty out that way as well, you know? It's just... it's my favourite part of the world, that New England region. So, there's so much that you can showcase.
It's great advice. Just before we let you go, obviously after, and I want to ask you this coming from a successful singer-songwriter, obviously after we write our songs and they become successful, how do we deal with like the fame and the fortune and the groupies and the stuff that you would have obviously had to deal with yourself?
Ah, well, no, that's the secret of my success, mate, is that, you know, I've always just stopped it deliberately, of course, before I went massively mainstream.
Yeah.
I just couldn't handle the tension, you know, and the groupies. And, you know, my wife's a very violent woman.
Yeah, you're scared of her.
Safer for everyone that I'm still unknown.
Yeah, I understand.
Relatively in certain circles. So, in regards to you two, it is going to probably just take you to the top. I'd be getting your passport updated because you'll just be living in Nashville from now on.
Yeah.
I look forward to it. It's all I dream of.
Well, you know, it's just where you belong, really.
Yeah. Thanks, Luke.
Well, if you want to be one of Luke's groupies this weekend, you can. You can check him out tomorrow night and Friday night ahead of the Golden Guitar Awards in Tamworth, lukeoshea.com for tickets. Luke, thank you so much for your advice and for joining us.
Hey, look out. I can't wait to hear these songs. If you need any more tips or hands or little melodies, just let me know and I'll shoot something through. But all the best, Harry and Diana, Alex, and all the best to you beautiful people up in Muswellbrook, and I'll be seeing you soon.
Exposed. We're doing Exposed thanks to the New South Wales Minerals Council. All through the pandemic, mining in New South Wales has kept working, which keeps the community safe and the economy moving. In entertainment news, as Dolly Parton celebrated her 75th birthday, she has come forward to address conspiracy theories that her husband is merely imaginary. But first, 24-year-old Harry Brandt, he's the son of supermodel Stephanie Seymour and businessman Peter Grant, has passed away from an accidental overdose. And Donald Trump's daughter Tiffany has announced her engagement to 23-year-old billionaire Michael Bullos. Now, this is to his second marriage. She's 27. Her now person that she's engaged to, Michael, is 23. The timing seems a little sus, Harry. Just engaged just before Trump gets out of the White House, so their engagement pictures are them at the White House.
Okay, so they kind of rushed it.
It does seem a little bit sus, and she seems to be like the only Trump that's maybe happy about this next chapter.
Mm. By the way, who's a billionaire at 23?
I know.
Oh, for God's sake.
They actually met in 2018, I think it was, in Greece on like a holiday.
Yeah. Dear, oh dear.
Let's get into Dolly Parton now. Finally, this country queen's husband of 50-plus years, Carl Dean, is so rarely spotted in public that apparently people have doubted his existence. Working 9 to 5, what a way to make a living. First of all, what a track.
I was going to say, what a tune. Why aren't we playing this? Let it go. Never give you credit.
It's a great inspiration for, if you haven't heard, Harry and I competing on Friday to write the best country track. Dolly Parton is great inspiration for that.
Oh, that's such a good tune. I don't know why we're not playing that all the time.
Now, Dolly Parton told Entertainment Tonight that Carl is quite reserved as a person and he doesn't really like the spotlight. So they've kind of kept that part of their lives separate and he's not ever in the spotlight. So he lives a quiet life.
Can I be honest? I didn't even know she had a husband.
Yeah, of like 54 years,
wow.
I think.
Wow. I've never even, couldn't even tell you what he looks like. I've never seen a picture of the two of them together or anything. Nothing.
Yeah, they were married in 1966, which is madness.
Yeah, so they've done well. It's a decent marriage. Thank you for the latest in entertainment, Dana.
Now, you might have heard Bernard Tomic's girlfriend, who's in quarantine with him in Melbourne, the tennis player. She said this.
We ordered food last night and they didn't tell us that there was no deliveries after 10 o'clock. We ordered like $60 worth of food, got delivered at 11 and they refused to take it. They were like, nope. So we weren't allowed to eat our food. And also when you do order your food, they have to inspect it and I don't know what the hell they do. By the time the food comes to you, it's so cold. Go and order a hot coffee because by the time it gets to you, it's cold.
Oh, what a whinger.
Talk about sweating the small stuff. Like, big deal, cold coffee. Yeah. Who cares?
Who's ordering a coffee at 11 o'clock at night anyway?
That's a very cool point. I didn't think about that. But she also said this about her hair.
This is the worst part of quarantine. I don't wash my own hair. I've never washed my own hair. It's just not something that I do. I normally have hairdressers that do it twice a week for me.
Does she literally just have a camera on her commentating her life?
She
non-stop?
Vlogs on YouTube, so... Oh. I don't know who's watching it, but she's complaining about the most trivial things. And I thought, well, if she can do it, so can we.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I don't like this Vanessa Sierra and I like making fun of her, but I complain all the time.
Well, we all do little complainings.
Yeah.
But I'm assuming a lot of us don't put them up on YouTube to watch.
I just complain to the poor people here at work.
You know, this is our chance to... You can call us, 654-11981. This is your 1-800-COMPLAIN line. You can call us and just have a rant about something, because I've got a couple that I would like to put out there.
Shall you? Go for it.
Okay. For the 1-800-COMPLAIN line, I hate it when you're at the checkout at the supermarket and you can't find your rewards card in your wallet. I just find that really annoying.
Don't they have registered on the computer? You just say who you are and it gets up your rewards account?
No, you have to get your card out.
Oh, okay. See, I don't have a rewards card.
Well, that also annoys me because you're just wasting points.
Do you want me to just get one and then you can use it? I'll just take your one or something.
Yeah, absolutely. And I also hate it when someone gets in their car at the car park and they know that you're indicating to get into that car park because a car park's full, especially at Christmas time, Boxing Day sales and all that, and they don't leave their spot. They just sit in their car. They know that you want to go into the spot.
Yeah, they just sit in there. That is annoying, actually. If you want to call up and have a little whinge about the trivial things in life, feel free to. 654-11981. That's our 1-800-COMPLAIN line.
1-800-COMPLAIN line coming up next. Vanessa Sierra, who's Bernard Tomic's girlfriend, she's stuck in quarantine with him in Melbourne ahead of the Australian Open. And she's complaining about the most infuriatingly trivial things.
This is the worst part of quarantine. I don't wash my own hair. I've never washed my own hair. It's just not something that I do. I normally have hairdressers that do it twice a week for me.
It's just not something
that I do.
Oh, heaven forbid you wash your own hair.
So annoyed. Oh, but I thought if she can complain, you know what? We can complain too. So this, I'm going to try this in my best automated telephone voice.
Oh, yeah, go for it. I used to do this job, yeah.
All right.
When you're ready.
This is your 1-800-COMPLAIN line. Jono from Brankston, what trivial life matter would you like to complain about?
I'd like to complain about something that happened this morning and something that happens a lot of mornings on my way to work. Out on the highway, you know, it's a normal speed limit and people go 10Ks below the speed limit until they get up to the overtaking lane.
Mm-hmm.
And then they floor it and speed through the overtaking lane so you can't overtake them. And then as soon as they get out of the overtaking lane, they go back to 10Ks below the speed limit.
You sound very passionate about this, Jonathan.
Oh, I've been thinking about it all morning.
I'm going to do this in my best voice. I used to do this job. I used to answer the phones for officers.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I did. Sarah from Scone, this is 1-800-COMPLAIN line. What's your complaint this morning?
I'm complaining that more and more people are cutting their hair in mullets now and I'm not about it.
Oh, what's with it? The moulet.
Oh, it's not good. I mean, COVID, people were doing their hair at home, I assume, but my sister's a hairdresser and she said that more and more are coming over her station and I just can't believe people think that that's okay.
Have you had a personal experience with a mullet recently? This sounds like it's deeply embedded in your
psyche. Look, anyone I've met with a mullet, not good people.
That's fair. Okay. All right.
So just a blanket ban on mullets from now on. That's what you want.
Exactly.
It's the Harry and Dana podcast. Stay up to date on everything Hunter Valley on our socials at 98.1 Power FM or at 98.1powerfm.com.au.